We honor you today. We yield ourselves in your presence, O God. You are the reason we came together. We were the reason you gave your best. You gave your son. Jesus, you gave your life. But you are the reason we came together today. To celebrate you. To honor you. We want to hear from you. You did say that you have some uncommon, unusual things that you want to say to us. And our hearts are prepared to receive. We're looking up to you. This is a moment of elevation for somebody in this place. Somebody who might be joining us virtually. This is a moment of restoration. When redemption and the full benefit and the full privilege of redemption comes into manifestation in the lives of your people. We are not satisfied, Lord, with being the law of the earth, living below our covenant privileges. We want everything that Jesus died to give to us. So speak your word to us. And as your word goes forth, Lord, let your light come. Amen. Let illumination come. Amen. Let understanding come. Amen. Let great knowledge come. Amen. Let there be liberation. Amen. Let there be elevation. Amen. Let there be glorification. Amen. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. You are the guest of honor in this assembly. We yield completely to you. We have worshipped, we have praised, we have prayed, we have sang, we have danced, we have done, we've given. But now we want to hear you. So speak your word clearly to us. Give us understanding hearts. And hearts that are yielded to receive. Not stony hearts. Not distracted hearts. Not insubordinate hearts. Not unyielded hearts. Not hearts that hear and forget. We will not just be hearers of the word. We will be doers of the word. So when we hear, let there be illumination in our spirit and in our minds. And let there be manifestation. Let there be manifestation. We give you the glory, our God. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you help me lift up your voice just one more time and bless the name of the Lord? He truly deserves to be praised. He deserves to be glorified. He deserves to be honored. He deserves to be worshipped. Hallelujah. Thank you all so much for being a part of this service. We're so excited that you are all here with us today. Could you go ahead and be seated? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just a few days ago, I had a visitation from the Lord. And there were a number of things he was instructing me about. He said to me, I want you to, he actually, by an open vision, gave me this message I'm going to minister to you. And he says, I want you to minister that message. Amen. I want you to minister that message. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So let's take some time We've danced, we've praised God, and the Lord is pleased with that. And he's excited and he's received our sacrifices, our giving, our praise and our worship. But he does want to say some things to us. And this is not just for the benefit of those of us that are sitting right here in this room. This is also for the benefit of so many other people who would be privileged to hear this, either in real time or afterwards. Glory to God. And I've just got to obey God and fulfill the assignment that he's given me. I do have a number of scriptures, like you heard me say, so I'm going to go through the word. This is not a milk message. This is not like, I don't want to distress you, but this is not one of those messages where, you know, easygoing messages, you just treat like candy, you go home, you're happy. This is not that. There's a lot of stuff in here that the Lord wanted me to say to you. And like I said, not just to you that are seated here, and not just those that are joining us in real time, but to God knows who, where, would hear this at some point. So let's start out from Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. We don't have the Passion Translation of the Bible, but I'm going to read it out to you. Matthew 28, 18 and 19, and I want to read that from the Passion version of the Bible. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. And I want to read that from the Passion Translation of the Bible. Verse 18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority of the universe has been given to me.'" This is verse 18. "Then Jesus came close to them and said, 'All authority of the universe has been given to me.'" Verse 19, he said, "Now go in my authority." I'm reading directly from the Passion Translation now. "Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit." I want you to look at verse 18 again in the Passion. It says, "Then Jesus came close to them and he said, 'All authority of the universe.'" Let me ask you a question. It's not a trick question. If Jesus has been given all authority of the universe, is there any other authority anywhere else? No, the answer is no. So Jesus said, "All authority of the universe has been given to me." But then he followed up by saying in verse 19, "Now," he's speaking to the disciples and he's speaking to you and to me, to all of us that are hearing this message today, "Now go in my authority." So what Jesus is saying in essence, all the authority of the universe has been given to me, and I am giving you that same authority. That's what Jesus is saying. So that means the authority that Jesus is giving the church and the authority that Jesus is giving the believer is not any less than the authority that God the Father gave to him. He said, "All authority has been given to me. The all authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations." Now, of course, the expansiated version of that scripture is then in Mark chapter 16. So if you go over, thank you for helping me today, Maria. Do you go over then to Mark chapter 16 and verse 17? This is the expanded. So when Jesus said, "All authority of the universe has been given to me," and then he said to them, "Now you take that authority and go to all nations," what do you do with that authority? What is the purpose of that authority? So you have to combine Matthew 28 and Mark 16
that we're about to read to get an understanding of that. What is the purpose of all that authority that has been given to us? Look at it. He says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Keep on going. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. What did Jesus do to earn this right, to get this authority, and then to be able to give it to the church? It was the ultimate sacrifice that he made on the cross. The ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross is what qualified him to receive the right to take hold of this authority that the Father was giving to him, and then to be able to take that authority and give it to the church, to you and to me. The Lord wanted me to tell you that. Praise God for the redemption. Praise God for the resurrection. But it is important for you to know and to keep in your consciousness that everything Jesus came to do on this earth was for you. Amen. Everything that Jesus came to do on this earth was for you and for me. Jesus is our champion. Look at how he subdued Satan. Put up for me Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. We're going to read those in the New King James Version, but then we're going to read verse 15 in the Amplified. This is everything Jesus came to do on this earth was for you. Amen. Was for you and for me. Look at it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 from the New King James. Look at this. Look at it. How does that scripture start? And you. Notice he didn't say God. Notice he didn't say the world. No, he said, and you. Because everything Jesus came to do on this earth, by this redemption, by this sacrifice of redemption, was for you and for me. Let's look at this scripture together. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, what has he done? He has made alive together with him. What does that mean? Jesus, by virtue of the ultimate sacrifice he made on the cross, has made you alive. Amen. With him.
Yes.
Now notice he says he has made you alive with him. So that means the quality of the life of Jesus is what defines the quality of your life. And I need you to understand this. He says he has made you alive with him. Do you see this? So that means the quality of the life of Jesus is what defines the quality of your life. That means whatever Jesus has access to or had access to by virtue of his resurrection and by virtue of the price he paid for our redemption, you have access to. This is what makes John chapter 10 verse 10, that makes that scripture make more sense. You don't have to go there. Let's stay right here in Colossians 2. But in John chapter 10 verse 10, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly to the full until it overflows. So the life that Jesus came to give you as a believer is a life that overflows. Look around you in the world. I want you to pay attention. There's some things I want to say to you by the Holy Spirit. Look around you in the world. Majority of people do not have this life.
Yes.
Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it in abundantly, in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's the Amplified says that. There is a life that is overflowing life that majority of people don't have. What is this overflowing life? It begins from your spiritual life, your spiritual health. Your spiritual health, when you have abundant life, your spiritual health, your spiritual life is not patchy. It's not patchy. Your spiritual life is not patchy. What does that mean? It means you have a sound quality of relationship with God. That's abundant life. That's the quality of life that Jesus experienced. Do you know there's a scripture where Jesus said, my Father is always pleased with me. He never leaves me because I always do things that are pleasing to him. That's a quality of life right there. So your quality, the quality of your spiritual life, if it qualifies to be abundant life, must not be any less. You look around you, majority of people don't have that quality of spiritual life. People are always making excuses. People are always talking about why you can't have that kind of life. Don't you understand this? Don't you understand that? The world in which we live, the situation, the times. People are always, but no. The quality of life, I can't afford to stay too long because I have a long way to go. I can't afford to stay too long here. But I need this to sit within you, that you and I look at what is that scripture says again, and you can help your neighbor if you feel your neighbor is dozing, you feel like they are getting a little, if you are listening to the message and your neighbor for a while, they are not moving their hands. They are not moving their head. Look at them. Are you, that's before my policeman comes. I understand somewhere there's a video that I understand went viral somewhere from Maryland. A bishop is a singer. Many of us know him. I'm not going to mention his name, but some of you have seen that video. I think this happened sometime last year. He was receiving an offering, and he told his ushers to lock the door and let nobody leave. They were trying to raise some money, right? He said, nobody leaves until... And, you know, the world got on him. Like, you know, it's pathetic because the amount of money they were trying to raise, considering the amount of money and considering how many people were in that audience, because I saw the audience, it's really pathetic. It shows you how poor the church is. And this thing became so viral. It went viral everywhere. They were trying to raise $40,000. And he shut the door. Nobody must leave. Because everybody give that $10 or give $20. And the man of God was just trying to, you know, he was just trying to make sure they pay the bills for the thing. But of course, the world got on him. Now, I'm saying that to you because I'm going to have my ushers close the door. But that's not because I'm taking an offering. Now, I'm serious. That's because I'm delivering to you a message that the Lord said I should deliver to you. I'm not trying to get money at all. But since you decided to join us in Abundant Life today to celebrate Easter, the Lord had you in mind. Amen. The Lord had you in mind. Some aspect of this message, it may not resonate today or next month, but one day, sometime soon in your future, it's going to come back. And you are going to remember, Pastor said, the quality of my spiritual life must not be different from the quality of the spiritual life of Jesus. Why is my life so different? Why is the quality of my life different from that? And so many other things that the Lord is going to say to us. So stay tuned. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So you are forgiven. This is what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus did for us. He has made us alive. Now let's go to verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that were against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, I want you to go to verse 15 and let's read that in the Amplified. This is what our champion did to our adversary. Satan is a complete non-issue. where your life is concerned. There is nothing going on in your life today, or nothing that will ever happen in your life tomorrow, next month, next year, next decade, that redemption didn't already take care of. Satan has been made a non-issue, a complete non-issue. And I just want that to register in your life and in your heart today. Let's read this from the Amplified. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. That's a mouthful. But all he's saying is Jesus has already overcome your greatest enemy. The praise team was singing earlier about the victory that we have. The victory that we have in Jesus. That's it. You have the victory. I want you to help me say this. Preach this message to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, whoever is sitting next to you, look at them right in the eyes. Say, do you know you have victory in Jesus? In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18, the Bible says, I and the children that the Lord God has given unto me, we are for signs and wonders. Notice, you are always put in equality with Jesus. You are always equated with Jesus. There is a glory that Jesus received at the resurrection. That is the same glory God has given to you. There is a quality of life. There's a benefit of redemption that Jesus received at the resurrection. That is the same thing that God has given to you. That is exactly the same thing that God has given to you as a child of God. You don't have anything less than what Jesus obtained. Look at that scripture in the King James, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Look at what it says. I and the children that God has given to me, we are for signs and wonders. We are for signs and wonders. Can you tell me, help me tell your neighbor one more time. Look at them right in the eye. Say, do you know you are for signs and wonders? Personal note, when the Lord was speaking this to me in this visitation, don't preach about this resurrection message by explaining the resurrection. Preach this resurrection message by declaring it and personalizing it.
Amen.
By declaring it and personalizing it. Can you look at your neighbor one more time? Look them in the eye. Say, do you know you are for signs and wonders?
Do you know you are for signs and wonders?
Now, we do need illumination and understanding to enjoy the privileges that Christ died to give to us. All of us. We do need illumination and understanding to enjoy the privileges that Jesus Christ came to give to us. I want you to, you know, that scripture reading that we read earlier, that scripture reading we read from Luke chapter 24, you know, this is just a side note. I want you to put up those verses for me, please. Look at it. Luke chapter 24 and look at verse 5. There's a question an angel asked the women. This is a very interesting question. Look at what. And as they were afraid and they bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? And then in verse 45 of that same scripture reading, which we read earlier, verse 45, the Bible says, and Jesus, he opened their understanding so that they could understand the scriptures. He opened their understanding. I want you to know, most times when believers are hearing or reading the word of God, they don't get understanding. Most times as believers, when we are reading or hearing the word of God, we don't get understanding. That is why a lot of times the word that we hear usually passes over our heads. We hear it, But it doesn't make any difference in our lives because we don't get understanding. And this question that the angel asked them, let me just give you my interpretation of that and the interpretation that that the Lord gave me. Sometimes, what was the question again? The angel said, why are you looking, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Sometimes, it is difficult to tell the children of redemption from the children of the world because the children of redemption are living below their covenant privileges. Sometimes, you can look in a tomb of the dead and you can be looking for the living. The living are there. The believers are there. But you can't tell them different because they are living below their covenant privileges. You can look in any area of life. You can look in a community. You can look in a family where there are dead. Dead as in dead spiritually. They are not covenant children. They don't have access to this high quality of life that Jesus died to give to you. But in that family where you have all these dead people that are separated from the life of God, sometimes it is difficult to tell the difference between those that are dead and those that are alive because the ones that are alive are living below their covenant privileges. You will get it. I won't take time, but you will get it. The Lord will wake you up one morning, you will get it. Amen. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? That's when you look in a place and most of the people are dead, but there are some living, but you can't tell the difference. There's something wrong. The Bible says, here in you can put that scripture up for me. I think if I can find it, I don't know if I have it somewhere. Someone look for me. I cut it off so that I did not extend this message. But someone look for that scripture for me. When you, it's in Proverbs, maybe Proverbs 16, I'm not sure. When you wander out, it says, when you wander out of the path of understanding, you enter into the congregation of the dead. That's what it says. Someone look for that scripture for me. I was going to put it down. I just didn't get to do it. It's already a long message, so I can't put everything down. If you find it, let me know. I'm going to keep on going here. Proverbs 21:16. Thank you. Put that up for us, please. Proverbs 21:16. Put it up in the King James. Thank you. Look at it. The man who wanders out of the way of understanding will remain in the congregation of the dead. That means somebody can be alive. They can be born again. But if they lack understanding, spiritual understanding, you cannot tell them different from the dead. Now, we do need illumination and we need understanding to enjoy our privileges in Christ. I want you to go with me to this scripture in Psalms 82. God said, I said you are gods and you are children of the Most High. He said, but you will die like mere men and you will die like the princes. Why? I said you are gods. By virtue of redemption, there are certain things that have already been given to you. Help me personalize this message. Tell your neighbor, say, do you know you are in the God class? Look at this, Psalm 82. Let's read first from verse 6. I have said you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. Go to the next verse. But you shall die like men and fail or fall like one of the princes. Why? Why is it that somebody Jesus died for, to give redemption to give the highest quality of life possible to, why is it that that person remains a mere human, a mere mortal, that is struggling with all the same things that all the dead people that never received Jesus are struggling with. There is something wrong with that picture. Wake up! There is something absolutely wrong with that picture. The price Jesus paid for redemption is the highest price. He made the ultimate sacrifice to call us and to enlist us and to make us a part of the God class. You are like God. By virtue of your covenant with God, you share equality with God. It's not just words. It's not just that I'm preaching it to you. I have to see the evidence in my life. We have to see the evidence in your life. It's not just because I'm preaching it. Talk is cheap. Anybody can talk. Anybody can preach. But the kingdom of God is not just in talk. It's in power and demonstration of the Spirit. You cannot have redemption and then there is a yoke of bondage that is sitting over your life and killing you, and then you say, I just don't know how to get out of this. That means you are in a congregation of the dead, even though you are supposed to be living. There is something wrong with that picture. It defies the principle and the covenant of redemption. It's not right. You can't say, as a child of God, I'm dealing with all this heavy load, heavy yoke. I don't feel like being alive. I want to take my life. I'm depressed. People experience that. But the only people who should experience that are those that are the dead. When you get abundant life in Christ, that abundant life delivers you from every form of death. This is truth. This is truth. This is kingdom truth. And it's time we stop making excuses. Jesus, the Bible says there in the Psalms, I say you are gods and you are children of the Most High, but what's happening? You are like mere men and you die like the princes. And the answer, the reason for that is in verse 5. Back up to verse 5. Why is that happening? It's because they don't know, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. When you lack understanding, things that should be in order in your life will be out of course. Your family will be out of course. Your relationships will be out of course. Your spiritual life will be out of course. Your health will be out of course. Your finances will be out of course. Everything in your life will be out of order if redemption, the place of redemption that Jesus came to give to you, is not in place. Look at it. They know not. So there are two things you see here that the Bible has identified for why people who are supposed to be gods, children of the Most High, will die like mere men. They will have mere human experiences. There are two reasons. The first one, he says they know not knowledge, a lack of knowledge. The Bible says in Hosea, and we're just going to pivot right there real quickly and pivot right back. I want to show you this. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 10, let's pivot right there, Maria. Go to Hosea 6:10. Hosea 6:4. Maybe let's go to verse 4. I think it's 4. My people are destroyed. Where is this? Is it 4:10? For lack of knowledge. 4:6. Thank you. 4:6. My people are destroyed. That's the King James. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now listen to this. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. that you will be no priest to me. Seeing that you have forgotten the law of the Lord your God, I will also forget your children. Now notice, they are God's people. They are God's covenant people, but God is saying they are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why are they being destroyed for lack of knowledge? Because they outright reject knowledge. If you outright reject knowledge, you will live below the privileges of redemption. Somebody say, Pastor, but I never reject knowledge. Are you sure? Are you sure? Somebody say, Pastor, I, look at that next verse. Look at the next verse. Is that verse 6? Look at verse 7 and look at verse 7 in the Amplified. Look at verse 7 in the Amplified. Look at what it says in the Amplified. The more they multiplied in numbers and increased in power, the more they sinned against me, I would change their glory into shame. Do you have the Amplified C? Do you have the AMPC? Yeah, I like that one very much. The more they increased and the more they multiplied in prosperity and power. Watch this now. Sometimes the more people get, the more hardened they become to the reality of redemption. Look at it. The more they increased and multiplied in prosperity and power, the more they sinned against me, then what would happen? Watch this. Redemption, the resurrection of Christ, was supposed to bring you and me glory. Yes. The Bible tells us he came to call us into glory. Yeah. This, not glory as in when you die and go to heaven. No, glory. Glory means heavy, weighty, good, fabulous, supernaturally excellent. God, Jesus came to give you and me glory. We are destined for glory. I'll show you this just before I close. He was raised from the dead by the glory of God. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised from the dead by the glory of God. Amen. That same glory was put upon your life. Amen. To glorify you.
Amen.
But look at this. Because they reject knowledge, glory is intended for them. But because they reject knowledge, and in fact, the more they increased and the more they prospered, the more they rejected knowledge. And God said, I will change your glory into shame. I pray that God will not change your glory to shame.
Amen.
I said, I pray for you today that God will not change your glory to shame. The things that should elevate you in life, the things that should make you stand out, the things that should make you, you know how Joseph was like put on that shelf and everybody was coming to watch him and say, whoa, what is it about this man? He used to be a slave. He was a prisoner, but look at him. Look at him riding on Pharaoh's horse. Look at him. He's decorated. Look at that glory, my friends. The things that God has prepared for you to give you glory in your life, to help you live the highest quality of life. I pray that those things will not turn around and bring shame into your life.
Amen.
I pray that you will not become a ridicule in your generation.
Amen.
I pray you will not become a laughing stock in your generation. I pray you will not be one of those people when they'll say, oh, they are children of God, but oh, their lives are just so-so. You will not be one of them.
Amen.
I say you will not be one of them. Your glory will not be turned to shame. I say your glory will not be turned to shame. Let's move on. We need understanding. This is really the bulk. I'm almost there. I'm almost done. This is the bulk of where I want to focus my attention before I try to close. Knowledge. The knowledge of God is extremely powerful. Talking about the resurrection, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, let's read that together in the King James. This is what Paul said. That I may know him. That I may know him. and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable to his death. There are three things the Lord told me about this scripture. It directly relates to the resurrection, and I want you to see it. Knowing God is the best decision any human being can make. Knowing God. That is, knowing God for yourself intimately. Knowing God personally. It's one of the reasons the Lord had me write this book. I was tempted to take a show of hands. Because I know most of you, God bless you, I know most of you got these books free, either electronic or hard copy. It's a question to me, how many people read it from cover to cover, meditated it enough that they fully understand it and they can teach other people about the concepts in this book? I was tempted to take a show of hands, but I won't. Because I don't want to get embarrassed. And I don't want you to be embarrassed. The Lord had me write this book because it's one of the most important things to his heart, that believers will know him intimately. This is not a book about how you can give offering. It's not a book about how your career can grow. It's not a book about how you can find somebody to marry. It's not a book about how you can have more children. This is a book about how you can know God more intimately. I'm tempted to ask, how many people read it from cover? Because most of you got it. You read it from cover to cover. You studied the concept. You meditated them enough that you can teach other people about it. I'm tempted to ask, but I will not ask. But let me tell you something the Lord told me. You will never know the power of his resurrection without knowing him. I don't know if that gets your attention. You will never experience the power of his resurrection without knowing him. You will not experience the power of God in your life without knowing him intimately. You can't. None of us can. It's not just you, me, neither. There are things that are easy. There are things that are simple that God can very easily, just like that, get to us, but we won't receive them because we don't know him. Because we don't know him. Look at that scripture. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable to his death. Now, I know the power of his resurrection is the authority. I mean, there are three major things there. So, intimacy with God that produces equality with God through the covenant. That's the first thing, that I may know him. Because when you know him, through intimacy, when you become more intimate with God and you know him intimately, more intimately, you will begin to share equality with him. This thing about, I said you are God's and you are children of the Most High, that comes from knowing God. The more you walk with God, the more God rubs off on you.
Yes.
In fact, for Enoch, the time came, the Bible says he fellowshiped with God so closely, finally God just took him. The more you fellowship, the closer you get to the Lord. I'm not talking about knowing principles. I'm talking about knowing him intimately. heart to heart, heart to heart. The more you know him, the more he rubs off on you. Yes. And the more he rubs off on you, you finally come to a place where you actually begin to operate in the God class. This is a mystery that many people are trying to unravel. Operating in the God class is a blessing that exists for every believer. But the requirement is you've got to know him. And of course, the power of his authority, the authority and power of his dominion. And then the last thing there, and I'm going to close here. I have long ways to go, but I'm going to close because I think we've gotten enough for today. I believe that we are there where God bless you. I believe where we are there, we're saturated. It's good. So you can go and chew on some of this. And hopefully, for those of you who give some time to it, the Holy Spirit can open your eyes and give you understanding, more understanding and illumination, so that you can enjoy the privileges of redemption. But this is the last thing he showed me, which I wouldn't say that I knew before the Lord showed that to me in this visitation. He said, I want to know him, one. Number two, I want to know the power of his resurrection. That's his authority and dominion. And then number three, I want to have the fellowship of his sufferings and be made conformable to his death. I've just read that forever. Years and years of just reading that. And the Lord said to me, what that means is taking on the humility of Jesus. You have the fellowship of his sufferings by taking on the humility, the spirit of humility of Jesus. That spirit of humility is the same thing that gives you access to the best of God. If you don't have humility, you cannot have access to the best of God. What is humility? A willingness to step down, to submit, to follow, to receive, to accept. Why is it people reject knowledge? We read that scripture earlier. You have rejected knowledge, therefore I've rejected you. Why is it that people reject knowledge? People reject knowledge because of a lack of humility. Why is it that people can't accept the things that the Lord gives to them? Sometimes the reason is a lack of humility. Everybody knows now in the world. Sometimes the younger people know more than their parents now. All you need is Google or ChatGPT. All the answers are there. Everybody knows. If you try to tell someone that way in which you are walking is going to hurt you, you are going to end up in a ditch. Why? The reason you can tell them, number one, because of revelation. But number two, you can tell them because of experience. Because you've seen, not necessarily just your own personal experience, but others. You've seen how people have ended. And you can say, if you keep going that way, you are going to end up in a ditch. And then what's the next thing they're going to tell you? How do you know that? How do you know that? Right? How do you know? Because I know more than you now. I've read more books. My friend's friend told them that what you are saying is not true. It's old-fashioned. And so they are supposed to be gods, living the highest quality of life, but because of a lack of humility, they can't. When you lack humility, you are not teachable. You are not teachable. How many people do I know in my years, almost 40 years of being in the ministry full time, who are not teachable? They're just not teachable. Their heads are so big, they are so stubborn, they can't receive anything. God said, you've rejected knowledge, therefore I've rejected you. My friends, as we close out in this service, redemption. is a great gift. Redemption gives us, he gives us the ability to live a level of life, a quality of life that is just a fairy tale to the average human being. It is only a fairy tale. It's a dream to the average human being. It's the highest quality of life. When God put your, you see, that scripture where it says, they are, the course, the foundations of the earth, the course of the earth is out of order. It's out of course. Your life just lines up. It's like there is a force, and there is a force. There is a force that is putting your life together, and every time you arrive at a point, it's together. You don't know how it happened, but it's together. And you keep on going. There's that force. You arrive at the next place, it's together. You don't know how it's happened, but it's always together. That's what redemption will do for you, my friends. Redemption will keep you in the light, in the center of the will of God, so that you can enjoy the best of God. My friends, let's receive the best that redemption. Jesus died to give to us on this resurrection celebration service. Hallelujah. Let's all rise up. Let's all rise up together. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, I desire to know you like never before. I want to know you more intimately. Lord, I want to know the power of your resurrection. Lord, Lord, help me, help me. I take on the garment of humility. I yield and I submit myself to you. I open up my heart to you. I want to have the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. I want to be everything that you created and ordained my life to be. I want to rise up and be the one that you destined my life to be. I want to lay hold on the benefit of redemption at a higher level. I don't want my Christian testimony to just be talk and talk and talk and talk, but no results. I want to see the glory of God manifested in my life. I want to see the power of God manifested in my life. I want to see the graces of God manifested in my life. I want to see what qualifies me for sonship. I want to see it manifested in my life. Lord, I want to have the best of the best of the abundant life that Jesus died to give unto me. Every area of my life, my spirit, my soul, my mind, my physical body, my health, my finances, my family, my marriage, my relationships, Lord, my destiny, my career, my business, my ministry, everything that matters to me. I want to see the glory of God manifested upon every area of my life. That's why Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. That's why Jesus paid the ultimate price, so that I can enjoy the benefits of redemption. Lord, I yield myself to you. I make myself humble in your presence, so that what Jesus died to give to me can become a reality in my life. I give you praise, oh God. I give you praise, oh God. I give you praise, oh God. I said, you are gods. You are children of the Most High. Because of redemption, lay hold on that. Receive that. Receive what elevates you to be like Jesus. You were destined to be like Jesus. Whatever is not in the life of Jesus should not be in your life. That's part of having fellowship with him. Whatever was not identified in the life of Jesus should not be identified in your life. Jesus, he was never depressed. You should not be depressed. Jesus was never suicidal. You should not be suicidal. Jesus did not have panic attacks. You should not have panic attacks. Jesus was not under yokes and bondages. You should not be under yokes and bondages. When you have a heart of humility, when you receive the knowledge of the Word of God, when you become close to the Father, when you become intimate with the Father, and the Father rubs off on you, my friends, the power of His resurrection will break every shackle. The power of His resurrection will break every stronghold. The power of His resurrection will break every yoke and elevate you so you can operate in the God class. Somebody say, I'm humble. Somebody say, I take on the spirit of humility. I take on the spirit of humility. I am teachable. I can be led. I can be directed. I can be instructed. I can be corrected. And I have a good attitude for it. I have a good attitude with it. I am open to instruction. I am open to learning. I am open to understanding. I am open to correction. I see yokes are being broken all over the place. There are things that have held people in bondage for many years. Those yokes are falling off of their lives. I can see it in the spirit. That's why the Lord wanted you to hear this message, so that shackles of the enemy and strongholds that have held you bound for generation after generation can finally set you free, so that you can live the abundant life that Jesus came to give to you. I see yokes being destroyed. I see strangleholds being broken. I see shackles of the enemy falling apart. I see the dead being raised. People are coming out of the congregation of the dead. They are saying, I'm not dead. I don't have a place in this tomb. Jesus rose from the dead. I'm coming out of this tomb. I'm coming out of this tomb of the dead. Release me and let me go. I'm going to where the living is. I'm going to where the living is. Shabakash. Shitakaba. It's time for glory to be manifest in my life. It's time for the glory of God to be made manifest in my life. It's time for resurrection power to make the difference in my life. It's time for me to be elevated in destiny. It's time for change to happen. It's time for change to happen. I speak the opening of eyes. I speak where blindness, the Lord told me He will break the yoke of blindness on a lot of His people. Where a lot of people have been held in bondage by spiritual blindness, you are set free today. I see that blindness. I see that getting out of your family. I see getting out of your life. I see you going free. I see you going free. I see you going free. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the gift of redemption. Lord, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you, our God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God.